This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Hims, Upstart, and Manscaped. More on that later. Let's get into the dew.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans, doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. You can find me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. My website is ryansickler.com. Make sure you sign up for my email list. You'll be among the first to find out new information. Like, I'm going back out on the road with Tommy Buns, a.k.a. Teddy Loons, in October. Go to the website. Check out my calendar. You'll see the dates. The website for here, thehoneydewpodcast.com. That's where you can find all your merch, your information, everything you want to know about The Honeydew. And as always, you know, I like to say thank you, guys. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for the emails, the messages. The best way to help the show is to support the sponsors. Go out there, give it ratings and reviews. You guys are doing all that. I love you for it, and I appreciate it. And if you're new here, what I like to say is that these are the stories behind the storytellers. We highlight the lowlights. And today's storyteller is Stephen Randolph, everybody. Welcome back, Stephen. I say back because you did a crab feast that was so powerful for me that, and you got to check that episode out.
I still get messages about that.
Like, yeah, like, that was
four or five
else.
Years later.
We're going to get into a lot of that today, but before we do, please plug whatever you'd like.
Yeah, I forgot to plug this last time. Guys, first and foremost, I have a credit card processing company.
First and foremost, a comedian on a comedy podcast.
Yeah. First and foremost, I like to help merchants, especially those who have had legal issues, been in trouble. You're operating in the gray. If you
Nadav, if YMH ever dips in the gray.
Yeah. You guys get in trouble. We believe at GencoPay, that's GencoPay.com. We believe in second chances. I'm talking to you, Kratom, guns and ammo, tobacco, vape, CBD. Nutra, nootropics. Nootropics. Is it legal? We don't know. We'll help you find that. I am partnered with a great attorney, Theo Monroe of TFMlaw.com. He half owns the company, so you know we're going to do it right. And I just love to help you guys out there in e-com. Hit me up. That's GencoPay.com. I also have an Instagram, Stephen Randolph 2. That's StevenRandolph 2 on Twitter, Instagram. And yeah, I have a podcast called So Deep. You can find that at StephenRandolph.com.
We're into the comedy now.
Yeah, we're in the comedy. Right, yeah. Okay. You know, merchants. I'm talking, yeah.
No, I don't blame you.
Travel merchants, anything that's kind of weird.
What's your podcast?
It's called So Deep with Stephen Randolph.
Great.
So Deep.
Is there anything else you'd like to put out there?
I'll be doing Cobbs with Josh Wolf in October.
Yeah, we love Josh Wolf here. Yeah, for sure.
And I want to be a good husband and tell you that Chelsea Skidmore, my wife, has a great podcast called The Chelsea Skidmore Show.
Very nice. All right, check that
out. That'll
give
me points and some blowjobs at home.
All right, so I wanted to have you come on The Honeydew because no doubt you are a honeydew. There is no doubt. I encourage everybody to go back and listen to your Crab Feast episode. But we're going to start in a specific place. So real quick, where are you from?
I'm from Pasadena, California.
Okay.
Local boy.
And the story that you told, and I remember very well, you went to bed one night at how old? How old were you when you went to bed this particular night?
I think this was like in seventh grade, so I was like 11 and a half, 11, 12 years old.
Okay, 11, 12 years old, right at puberty, the beginning of puberty.
Yeah.
You go to bed.
Yeah.
And what happens when you wake up in the morning?
I think it was the night before eighth grade.
The night before you started school?
Yeah, like around that. Like that summer, right before eighth grade. And because I remember hiding them during eighth grade and then high school, it was just a nightmare. But right before like eighth grade, I went to school with a normal little boy's chest. And dude, fuck. This is so. Every time I tell this, I've only done this a few times. If you've noticed, like on my podcast, I don't really talk about it. I don't talk about this a lot because it's so painful.
Well, and I appreciate you doing it because I know there's so many other people out there. You were not the only person that's ever had this happen. You're the only person I know that's had it happen like this. But tell us
so
what
I woke up and I had tits like a chick.
Like, not...
Bro, tits.
Not like the tits I have now.
No, not
that I should be in better control of.
Tits.
Breasts. Breasts.
Tits with big nipples.
And were they, and you had no ink, there was no pain or the, or
they were sore. They were sensitive.
No, I mean the night before leading up to
no.
this. It was.
No, you know what? You know what? There was like a little like hardness in there was a little sensitivity.
For how long?
Fuck, dude, right before your wisdom teeth come in, how your gums are kind of sore and you know something's fucking brewing. It was kind of like that same feeling. Like, I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, like they would
and
be sensitive.
And you wake up with breasts.
Fucking, and I'm like.
And what do you do?
I just go, what do I do now?
I mean, what is that like?
What
you
do
wake
I do?
Up and these, like, what were they proportionate to your body? Or
no,
they like,
and that's, here's like, the thing. Like, I fluctuate a lot with my weight. So I've always been a little chubby. Sometimes I'll get a little skinny.
You look great right now. We've been talking about that.
I appreciate that, dude. It's all carbs and sugar,
I know.
Dude. Carbs and sugar. I do night eating now lately. I've been sleep eating, and that's I got to stop that. I don't know how. But I woke up, and I had tits. And no matter how much weight I lose, because then I like was like, all right, I'm going to lose all this weight. They still stayed the same. So they
really?
Were something outside of like, it wasn't just fat. It was tits.
So can we just talk about this? Because
yeah, I'm here to fucking bear up. My brother, so when I started stand-up, I was at a coffee shop with him. And he was like, dude, your jokes are good and your stories are good. He's like, but when are you going to start talking about your tits? And I fucking grabbed him. And I was like, what are you fucking serious? Dude, he's like, dude, that's funny. You had tits. And I was just like, and I told it once on stage. I got booked on 3 more shows. Like, tell the tit story. And I just didn't want to be the tit guy. You know,
the titty guy.
I want to be cool.
Well, you are.
Thank you.
But, you know, a lot of fucked up shit happens to cool people.
I know. It's just like, but it is what it is. And every time I tell this story, it does help people. And it's wild what a young man will do to avoid being, you know what I mean? That,
so this is what's going through my,
adventure
this is what goes through my head. You, every young lady out there eventually is going to grow breast and they're aware of it. There are bras for them. There's a whole training and there's a whole education about it. But you now have the same thing they have, but it's not supposed to be on you.
Dude,
so how do you even start thinking about swimming and showers in high school? I mean, all of this.
It robbed me, you know, and I don't like to be a victim in life and be like, oh, I was robbed of this. Because, dude, I've had a really good run other than the tits. I feel like I'm a dog that's just like, why are you laughing, human? You know, like, what's going on?
I had
a good life. Like I've had a good life other than the tits. And
right,
I would say that to God. I would be like, man, like,
everything
people seemed to like
titties.
Me. Like, I was popular in school. Like, girls, like, gave me attention. But I had tits. And I would just be like, dude, if I just didn't have these fucking tits, it'd be perfect. It was like the Twilight Zone where the guy finally had all the time in the world to read and his glasses fell off and shattered. And he was like, I can't read. It's like, it was always like, it was almost all there, you know? And being from Southern California, we were always swimming. We were always at the beach. I love the ocean.
Yeah.
Done. You're not going to a fucking beach party at 15 with all the guys and all the girls. That's done. Dude, that would be suicide, social suicide, you know? So I got to be a master what would you call that? Diversion. You know, just, hey,
avoiding.
Don't look over here. Don't look over here. I convinced everybody that the beach wasn't cool. I quit football. I was like,
powerful.
The beach is lame. And I was kind of a popular kid, so I had a couple guys be like, yeah, the beach is lame. All the while, all I wanted to do was swim, dude. I had to convince people that, like, oh, pool party? What, you know,
yeah,
like,
fuck your sandcastle.
Yeah, pool party? Like, how lame. Let's go wear sweaters, dude, in the summer and be like, I use my salesman abilities to convince my friends that doing things without shirt. Love Raging Waters, bro. That's one of my favorite things to do. Raging Waters, water slides. I love the ocean. I'm a Cancer, and I couldn't do any of that shit. None of it, dude.
All right. So the moment you wake up with tits, do you run right and tell your mom and dad?
Dude, here's the thing, and we talked a little bit the other night at the Ice House about like therapy and stuff like that. And not a dig on my mom and dad. I have great parents, but first thing, you know, this obviously was a thing that really fucked me up and changed my life, changed my posture, changed everything about me. In like, we're, you know, not to be weird, but while the tree was growing through puberty, that's like really pivotal. You're becoming a man. When I was becoming a man, I was just shrinking and hiding. But yet I'm this big personality. I like people. So it really, like, I could see if someone was looking at my chest, I would either try to fight them or run away or do something grand.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, it was like this whole fucked up thing. And my therapist goes, what did your parents do?
Yeah.
And I said, they told me that they weren't there. And he said, your parents were asleep. And my therapist has a son. And he said, if my son had some weird shit, had weird stuff or had tits or had weird ears, he goes, it would be solved immediately.
Plastic surgery immediately.
And that's my big message with this. You got a fucking ears that you don't like. You have a nose that you don't like. Dude, it's not the 1700s. Fast forward to the story, I don't have tits. I paid Dr. Corbin $8,000 to suck these fuckers out, you know. And now I'm doing stand up. But I was like, you got something weird, dude. There's plastic surgery, and yeah, plastic. You know, getting addicted to plastic surgery, that's not the answer to everything. But dude, it fucking changed my life. It changed my life. Changed my life. Plastic surgery changed my fucking life.
All right, so.
Go move to a different town, get that nose job, come back with a whole new attitude.
What age do you finally get rid of them?
Okay, dude, 28.
What?
And that's when I got sober.
From 10 to 28? Or 12 to 28?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Holy shit.
All the fun years. All the fucking shirts off, drinking beers, fucking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Turn 30, keep that shirt on, man.
Dude, and that's when I fucking, you know. Yeah, so
I'm surprised you're not shirtless now.
Dude, I love taking my
shirt off. I would too.
I'll take it off by the end of the show. I like taking it off now.
So, okay, why did you, all right, you don't tell your parents or you do, they say, dude, oh, they're not there.
So this is fucked up. This is embarrassing. So I was sleeping in my bed at 15. All my family's going, my mom and dad, for some reason, I think because there's nothing they could do. That's my other, I had another therapist that were like, there's nothing they could have done, right? Well, they didn't know that they could, in their world, they couldn't fix it. So they were just like, it's fine. It's fine. But I'm going to fucking school and it's not fine. People are teasing me. And I think a moment.
So people do see them.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah. Every once in a while there was a nip slip, dude. You know? and then it was just, but then that was like death, especially for dudes. You're a dude. It's like, you dude with tits, bro. You can't talk.
No. Woo,
that's some fucked up shit.
Yeah,
dude.
Especially for kids are going to call that shit out.
And then going to an all boys Catholic competitive high school, nightmare. Nightmare. You know, nightmare. And I could see it in my eyes in pictures. I was just, I was so angry. I was so angry. My parents were, what is he angry about? What are you angry? We have a good life. What are you angry about? But when this was actually a weird moment, and I have never shared this publicly. This is so embarrassing. But I was sleeping in my bed, and one of my younger cousins came over, who was a toddler at the time. And I was sleeping, I guess, with my shirt off. And she woke me up, and she goes, and I was like looking at her. I'm like, hey. And she goes, booby. And I'm like, all right. You know, like, you know what I mean? She said, booby. Never forgot. I've never shared that in public or in therapy. But that's when I was like, all right, I'm not fucking insane. Like this kid, it was like the kid pointing out booby. I'm like, thank you, Blair. Thank you, Blair.
Blair.
Blair's probably 25 now. When you're 4, you know. She said booby, and I was like, all right, I got tits. It's official. This kid just stamped it. So, you know, I go through 7th or 8th grade. I forget, like, Catholic school, like, grammar school. But it wasn't like I didn't go to, like, a junior high. I went to a small private school. So I was able to, like, kind of just not, we didn't do shirts and skin shit. And then right before freshman football, going into St. Francis High School.
God, I'm just sitting here thinking about shirts and skins. You could never do that.
Bro, you want that quarter toss? When they're like, one, you know, all, the, all right, one, two, all the ones, take your shirt. Dude, that was, and for an act of God, I was always shirts. I say, God, if there is a God.
You went perfect on shirts every time.
I swear to God. I said, if there's a God,
that's a hell of a streak.
I'll do anything. I'll join the missionary. I'll do anything, you know. And I actually didn't play football the next year because I was like, dude, there's no way I could beat these odds, these shirt skins odds.
You would definitely be shirtless in the locker room.
At some time. But yeah, yeah, I would flip it real quick. But I had really muscular arms. I mean, I don't lift weights. And they're like, so I just got my arms really big and wore cut off shirts because at least I could show something cool.
And what do you hold? Are you trying to use them? I can't remember. You use ace bandages or what?
Once. I got caught at a restaurant because they switched the shirts at Mi Piace from like this like cool Italian restaurant. They're like, dude, we're wearing rash guard style things. And it was just the material was just light enough to just like this. And I was like, oh, like I almost had to quit my job. But that was during the heroin year. So I needed this job for the 100 to 200 a day.
We're going to get to the heroin.
Yeah. Yeah. Heroin really helps for tits. It just, you don't care that you have them, dude. You're just like, dude, I got tits. You want to suck them? You know, it was actually, you know, yeah. So, but I think the last, when I heard the prison gate just shut was, I never told anybody about it. I think I may have said something with my family, and they're like, no. And I'm just like, all right, I'm not getting any help here. Was, you know, did you play football in high school?
I played soccer.
You played soccer? Did you have to do like a physical where you cough and all that?
Yeah,
you
know, for wrestling, and you stand there in front of schools and weigh in and stuff at tournaments, yeah.
Yeah, like that kind of shit. But I went to this doctor before, and this was my last chance. I went to the doctor. You had to have a physical to play football. So I was playing football. I was still like, it's only a new thing. I only had them for the year and a half or whatever, and I'm hiding them going, okay, this is going to go away.
A year and a half.
Yeah, I'm like, this is going to go away because my body's changing, and I'm growing. I grew 3 inches. I'm becoming a man. So I'm like, eventually, I'm going to grow.
You're going to outgrow your tits.
Outgrow my tits. But I did not, dude. I did not outgrow my tits.
Praying for a tight end build
praying to God. God, take these tits away. And so I had the balls to, you know, you're doing the thing where you cough, and I did the whole physical. Didn't have to take off my shirt, but it was a physical to play freshman.
But this is
football.
Like your own private doctor.
My private doctor. Yeah. My mom took me. Mm-hmm. You had to get all the tests. And it was this lady. And I'll never forget what a fucking cunt. I've forgiven a lot of people, but this fucking bitch, dude. How evil. Like I put my guard down, and after the physical was done, this like female doctor, I was like, I gotta ask you something. She's like, what? You know, with her notebook. I'll never forget this, dude. This happened on Sarah Madre Street, Pasadena, 1994. And she was like, she said, yeah. And I said, I gotta show you something, and I wanna know if there's help for it. She goes, oh, okay, what is it? And I took off my shirt and I said, look at this. And she goes, nothing you could do, and pulled my shirt back down and walked away.
Nuh-uh.
I swear to God, I'll never, you know, there's mean things or there's people that are dismissive, but I just thought, how could you be so closed off and in the dark? Dude, if someone walked in during this thing and said, hey, dude, my fucking left elbow, I'd be like, hey, we'll get to that right at, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not the guy for that, but I can help, like, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm a little kid's fucking, you know, a 13-year-old kid.
Let me refer you to someone who I think could help you. Or
surgery, it's going to be a big deal, but, you know, you got to think this boy's coming to you to get into tackle football at an all-boys school. He just showed you that he had breasts.
Yeah.
And she just went, nope. It was like something out of like a movie, you know, like where like a closed-off teacher would be like, nope, sorry, class dismissed. It was just like, you fucking bitch. You know what I mean? So I was just like, after that, that was my last attempt at asking anybody for help for this horrible, horrible, embarrassing, terrifying thing, you know? So that was for me, like, I ask for help now all the time, dude. Like, you know, but like that was a big deal for a kid to ask somebody for help for something that was so embarrassing, and they just hear that, nope, and then put it down And now we're in high school. Damn. Now we're fucking in high school, you know?
So do you play football that year?
I played football that year. It turns out I'm not that good at football.
How did you avoid keeping your secret?
I just revealed. Got to the locker room first. I was the first to change.
Your whole life, your schedule, your everything is patterned around everything. These tits.
Everything, dude. Everything. Everything. Getting blowjobs,
sexually active in high school.
I was a you fucking always sexual had your shirt maniac, on? But always had my shirt on. I waited till the light was off perfectly.
But they couldn't feel them?
Maybe girls are nicer than guys.
Girls are definitely nicer.
You know, maybe you know what I mean?
Yes.
Girls I never thought about that. Maybe girls are nicer than guys.
Way nicer.
Yeah. Yeah, the girls I was sleeping
with. They
have
compassion and heart and soul and they
yeah,
care,
I never thought about that. There had to be. Yeah. Someone had
probably
to.
Felt empathy, you know.
That thing that high school boys.
Guys like, he's got tits.
He's got tits.
He's
done.
Got tits.
Done.
Show your tits.
Done.
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 Oh, my God. So, yeah. So I'm going through high school, and that's a nightmare. But then I start doing drugs.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, this has got to be fucking with you.
Dude.
Do you think you would have not have started the drugs that you started if you didn't have tits?
And I always struggle with that. I wonder if that's what... about that, right? Because I'm an alcoholic, I'm 11 years sober, all that stuff, right?
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I wonder sometimes, what I've got to in my head is there's probably 10,000 people on earth with this or more. I don't know
I was gonna say, do you know now that since you've gone through it, like what percentage this happens?
A few times I've squeaked this story out on stage, and when I have the guts, every single time somebody's come up to me afterwards and goes, I have this. How do I get help for this?
They currently have it while they're talking to
from this podcast. People from your podcast, from the Crab Beat.
Really?
Yes.
People reached out and said, "I have this now."
Yes.
Wow.
What do I do? That happens a lot.
Could you imagine if you had that back then? It would have changed your life a week. You would have been I'm going to get these fucking taken care of,
dude. My dad told me this story in high school while I had tits, and I don't know why he didn't fucking take me to do it. So he said he was in his 30s, and he was at a park. And there was this really good looking, 6'4" dude. It's like athletic dude playing with this kid playing frisbee. And my dad's like, I knew this guy. I know this guy. How do I know this guy? And my dad eventually went up to him. He goes, I feel like I know you or something like that. And the guy goes, I'm so-and-so. And my dad goes, the criminal kid. And he goes, yeah. My dad said this guy got arrested when they were teenagers for 2 armed robberies. He was the local town in Burbank, armed robber, bad kid. The guy said to my dad, I ended up my 3rd court case, went with my mom. He had a nose out to here. It was like a beak, right? The judge, this is in the 60s, dude, in Southern California. How progressive. He said the judge sentenced me, pulled my mom and me up to the thing and said, it's because of your son's nose. He's acting out because of his nose. I sentence him to... You're to get plastic surgery.
No.
Swear to God.
You can sentence somebody to get
plastic
surgery. You're getting
plastic surgery. You're putting him in a different school, and he's coming back, and you're not talking about this anymore. And he goes, that judge saved my life.
Wow.
He goes, I went with my mom. We got the surgery. I left school. Everybody thought I must have went to prison or something, and it changed my life. My dad was like, he was just some regular dude. You know.
Now I just shoplift from 7-Eleven.
Yeah, exactly. Without I don't need the gun.
I don't need the gun.
Yeah, I don't need the gun, bitch. But my dad told me this story, and I was like, I got tits, you know? So I'm going through high school with this fucking nightmare. Is this interesting?
Is it interesting? Like I said, you're the only person I know that grew tits.
Yeah.
Only guy.
It feels like when I'm telling the other stories, it feels like a rush. This feels like just like I'm a filleted butterfly. You know, I feel like a butterfly in a glass right now.
I completely get it.
I don't feel cool.
I'm trying not to to laugh at things.
You can laugh.
You say certain things is, you know, your comedic style.
Okay,
it fucking funny.
Okay, yeah, because right now
I had a good run, everything but the tits is...
It's the truth.
That's a great line.
That's the truth, man. But right now I feel like I'm flying out into space with this tit story. I'm like at the studio. It's just so strange. It's so strange because it was something that, you know... I did a lot of ecstasy. I did a lot of meth. I did a lot of cocaine.
What started your interest in it?
In that, I
how
don't,
old?
Oh, oh,
high what, school. You start drugs?
Yeah,
16, 15, 16?
Freshman year.
Oh, okay.
I went. So the summer going into St. Francis High School, I'll tell you this. Most of the people from my, so I would have been the class at 98. I got kicked out. The class of 98, I was there actually the same time D'Elia was in the school next door, but I didn't know him at La Cunada High School. But my class at 98, a lot of the guys died, are dead,
from
are
drug
in jail, or are in serious trouble from drug. We had a really, I guess our class, the class of 98 at St. Francis High School in La Cunada, was one of the worst classes they've ever had. I know a lot of people say, oh, but there's just something in the water. I mean, my mom, teachers, they would say that, you know, the school's been here for 60 years. This is the worst. There was just something in the water with my class. I want to write, the book I want to write isn't so much about my life, but it's about this high school. For the couple years that I went there, I mean, guys were overdosing in class.
What was the big thing then? Coke or pills or
pills
what was it then?
And
heroin.
Guys were smoking crack. I went into this. It's a lot of rich kids.
These are affluent. I was gonna say affluent.
Rich kids.
Yes.
I went in. So I went. We were all playing football, right? So you play football in high school, but you do that summer camp for football before you get into the high school. So you almost kind of know a lot of the guys that are playing football before that first day of freshman year. So everybody else comes and no one knows each other. So there's a couple summer parties with the football players, and we're all leaving eighth grade. We're kids, dude. We're fucking 13 years old. I was born, you know, 13 years old. And they go, hey, we're going to go to – there's a party at one of the guys' houses in Eagle Rock. And I know that some of the guys are smoking weed. I haven't really smoked yet. I've taken a couple sips of alcohol. And I get there, and the one guy's older sister was pregnant. There's a baby monitor next to her. I walk into this party. And one of the people at the party go, hey, go down to the basement. Everybody's hanging out in the basement. I thought we were all just going to be drinking Dr. Pepper, fucking watching funny movies. And I walk in, and this lady's pregnant, and she's smoking what I thought was weed, and there's a baby monitor next to her. She's pregnant. I'm like, what's going on? And then some of the cool guys from football were down there. I'm like, what's up? And someone goes, pass the Brillo pad. And I go, pass the Brillo pad? And everybody laughed. This whole room of 13-year-olds and the older sister, who's probably 16, laughed at me for not knowing crack was smoke. You smoke crack on top of Brillo pad.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you smoke. So there, and I didn't know that. And I was like, I got a huge. Everybody started laughing at me really hard, and I was like, oh, crack. You know, cool. And everybody, 13-year-olds were just smoking crack.
Are you fucking serious?
Not kidding, dude. So then.
Where were the parents? Just gone for the weekend or just
yeah,
gone?
Yeah, the upstairs, you know, hanging
upstairs.
Out.
Upstairs.
Yeah, it was just like one of those houses. You know, one of those houses where the dad was just drinking. It was like no big deal. And so I'm like, this is high school. But that wasn't as scary as taking my shirt off. Yeah, I'm in this den of everybody smoking crack. But what would be scarier is if we're like, hey, we're all jumping in the pool. So anything that wasn't taking my shirt off wasn't scary to me, really. So then they started smoking PCP. I'll never forget
the same
this.
Night?
Saying that everybody starts smoking PCP.
This is the same night.
Yeah, yeah. And so I
holy
go.
Holy shit.
They go take
no wonder
hit.
They're overdosing and
I
dying.
I didn't hit crack, right? Because I was like, that's crack. But they're like, this is PCP. It's just going to make you feel funny. And so I took a huge rip of PCP, started smoking it a little bit, and I was like, what now? And then the guy threw me an aluminum, like, little bat, like a little T-ball bat. He's like, let's go up and whack trees. So I'm just up whacking. We're just smoking PCP. I'm 13. We're just whacking a tree. Boom. Smashing it like maniacal. And I remember it bounced and hit, came back and split my lip. And I just started laughing. I was like, ha ha. You know, just like I had the time.
Meanwhile, the dad's up in the window. He's like, they got the PCP out.
Yeah. That's the PCP's happening.
They got into my PCP stash, baby.
And the dad, I remember that. I think the dad was like a retired cop. A weird scene.
Unbelievable.
Got Eagle Rock.
That's unbelievable.
It's so weird, right? It's so crazy. I haven't thought about that.
Well,
time.
I'm retired, so fuck it.
Dude. These are the same guys.
Good God.
I went to high school with you know, all these guys, and two of the guys I smoked PCP with, I also went to grade school with. And I remember I spent the night at their house. We smoked cigarettes really early on. Like, from sixth grade, I was already smoking.
What? See, I want my daughter to listen to all these episodes. I started smoking weed at 21. That is the truth.
That's
these motherfuckers
great.
Started way early.
Something
21.
Weird in Southern California. Well, you're raising your daughter in Southern California.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. You got
goes
you,
fast.
Yeah, it goes faster.
It goes really faster here. It's faster. I was 13.
No doubt.
It is just. It's on.
Even
and
the guys
cracking.
I grew up with told me about the sexual stuff they were doing in sixth grade. I'm like, we were lucky if we were just rubbing a titty over a sweater.
Dude,
know what I mean?
You want? I don't know if this is funny or just sad, but. But at this point, same
mark the time code on this.
same group of guys. So our class was so progressive, and like the guys were bigger and stronger. Not me. I was just always kind of the same size.
But the amount of drugs too, like.
It was this.
Those
it was
are
my
two
class.
Intense drugs to be doing back to back.
I know, crazy. And it was our class, right? So my older cousin Ross, who's funny as fuck, he was a senior at this same school. So now school started September, October, and we're at a fucking a backyard party. But we were like the senior class. Like our class was so crazy on drugs. Everybody was just like on steroids, and like we. Our class looked older than the seniors. So the seniors who were trying to be all cool, our class, like, it's not me that was, like, behind this, but, like, a lot of the guys, they were just bigger, faster, stronger, crazier.
Yeah.
And we're taking this new freshman class, just like, get the fuck out of here. We were walking. They're like, you can't walk on the senior lawn. We were just eating lunch on the senior lawn. Like, what? You know, but it wasn't me, but it was, like, a lot of the, like, tough guys I grew up with. But we went to this class. I remember, so I met these two girls Halloween freshman year, and everybody made fun of me because these girls were like goth girls, and they were way above, like, they were just like skanks, dude. And we were freshmen, and they're just like, this one girl liked me, and this other girl liked my cousin at on this Halloween like night that we're just smoking cigarettes around Pasadena, and she was like, you could do anything to me. And I was like, let me suck your tits. Like, I thought that was so cool, right? And she was like, huh, okay, you know. And I did, and everybody like made fun of me, like, that's all I did, you know. It's just like, that's all you wanted to do. Well, I saw these same two girls at a backyard party, the senior backyard party at St. Francis, and the one girl was there again, and then her friend was like, I want to start sucking some dick. And
just
so,
announces it?
Just announces. I'll never forget this. So these are all guys that I'm in freshman class with, and there's like seniors, there's some girls at the party, like older kids, like we were supposed to be like the nervous freshmen, and I didn't participate in this, but the girl drops her knees. So my cousin gets his dick sucked. Another guy.
I like how you're trying to whisper it right now. There's microphones and cameras. He's like, my cousin got his dick sucked.
I just felt bad. I mean, I shouldn't say it. But so there's a line forms. A line forms where this girl's
sucking.
Oh, my God.
No.
I swear, I'll never forget this. Sucking 20 dicks, dude.
Oh,
and
my.
So all the seniors are going, you know, trying
Stella,
to.
Stella, you're not going to any fucking parties.
Are going, what the fuck's going on at this party? Like, you know, this is weird. We just turned it into this like weird sexual. So there's just this like gangbang going on with our class. So I guess I'm just giving you examples of like how weird and twisted our class was. But yeah.
And what drugs will do to you.
Mm-hmm. And they're the guys that were a part of this were all the guys that were smoking crack and shit and doing heroin.
God.
Doing heroin
damn.
Freshman year.
Heroin, crack, and PCP.
Yeah.
Nobody was just drinking or.
Not really, no.
Weed or...
That was me. I was drinking and doing weed. That's all I wanted to really
do. Man, that's
do.
Heavy shit.
Yeah, that's heavy shit.
Let's take a quick break to talk about our first sponsor, Manscaped. Now, support for Honeydew comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I need the precision because, as I've said before, balls bleed, okay? Balls are bleeders. You even nick a ball, it'll bleed. You might think you need stitches on your ball bag. I've buzzed them, and the skin gets a little, you hear that? Like, you know when you're weed whacking, it's like, you hear one of those, you know your shit's going to be bleeding. You can't, there's not enough clean, you can't put Kleenex on your balls. You can't, like, put that shit you put on your face to clock your ball bag. It's just a bleeder, man. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their lawnmower, the 2.0, has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts, all right? Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not deodorizing your ball bag, okay? You just a little down there when you're feeling stank, you little, you know, spruce it up a little bit. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. 20% off, free shipping, HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Once again, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code HONEYDEW. Our next sponsor is Hims. Now, you've heard us talking about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. And if you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. And the thing about guys is they just wait forever. They don't address things. You know, you're going bald. You don't go get your hair fixed. You got your dick's not getting hard. You're not going and getting pills to get that. There's a solution for everything today. You don't need to wait anymore. Okay, 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. And once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. All right? Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. Okay? Baldness can be optional thanks to science. There's no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. You're not in 7-Eleven buying stuff behind a counter. Prescription solutions are backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows some men's health conversations are easier online than it is in person. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. 4hims connects you to real doctors online, which could save you hours. Completely confidential and discreet. You answer a few quick questions, a doctor reviews it, and they determine if it's right for you. And they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that's shipped directly to your door. Get the hair loss treatment everyone's talking about. This 4hims has been featured in GQ, Men's Health, Esquire, and Playboy, just to name a few. Order now. My listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last, and subject to doctor approval. Okay? You got to see the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/HD. That stands for honeydew. That's 4hims, FORHIMS.com/HD. 4hims.com/HD. Our next sponsor is Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, definitely me, getting into debt is so easy and getting out is ridiculously hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Now, thankfully, there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. All right, when I was in college, I got a credit card right away, just started paying everything on it. Next thing you know, boom, I'm big time in debt. I'm living on it, rent, bills, groceries, all of it. You're paying interest, you're getting in way over your head, and then you can't dig out of it, all right? Now, Upstart actually rewards you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. And the best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. All right, the next day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. I wish they were around when I had debt. I would have got to those 800s a lot easier, you know what I'm saying? Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Now let's get back to the dew. You mentioned heroin, so how do you get hooked on heroin? It starts here, I imagine.
Yeah, so I start doing, I forget what I
was online at the gangbang, and this guy passed me some heroin. Next thing you know, 20 years, I'm deep.
Fuck, dude. I'm trying to, okay, so I'm doing drugs through high school, and I had a thing for meth. I really liked meth. Got in all kinds of trouble with meth. God. So now we're all getting kicked out of the school, left and right. Everybody's getting kicked out of St. Francis High School. Our class.
Is it because they're being caught with drugs?
With drugs. The quarterback got caught with drugs. This guy did this thing. This guy did this thing. This guy went to jail. This guy did. So they're weeding our fucking class. That school was by
weed is the, should have been what they were doing.
I know. And they're just like, all right, we got to stop this. So my cousin gets kicked out. This person gets kicked out. Everybody's smoking meth. People are overdosing in class. And I think you asked what it was. It was that God, I forgot what's that drink? The Tom Segura had an overdose on it. He was talking about on his thing. I forgot what it's called. GHB.
Yeah. So thank
people,
you.
People were doing G, like getting brought out on stretchers in our class, and they were just like, what is going on? So
Was this also because that's that whole steroid and everything era? That, you guys had that, and you were just beefing up.
Yeah, and it was the 90s, so it was like a lot of rave stuff too. A lot of like
a lot of zebra pants and shit like that.
Embarrassing pictures. Embarrassing pictures. The photos were just deadly if they ever surface now. So I start doing pills, and towards
that's how everybody I know starts.
Wisdom teeth. Got my wisdom teeth pulled. Loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. Started doing heroin.
And what was it they gave you?
Oxy Vicodin. I loved it. And I told this on your mom's house, so I won't like cross bleed too much. But yeah, like I got into that. Started doing Oxy. Later, like with the Jackass dudes, like I was a part of that whole thing, and like their magazine called Big Brother Magazine that later became Jackass, one of the coolest magazines. There's like coffee table book, and I think there's a Hulu documentary about it. But that was some of the most fun I've ever had in my life, was working for Big Brother Magazine. It was basically like an unedited Jackass. So it was, you think Jackass is crazy? Knoxville was shooting himself in the chest with a bulletproof vest, and it was just
CKY.
Yeah, CKY was happening. Yep. They were doing a little stuff with Big Brother, but that was at the same time those got married and became that. But a doctor kind of surfaced on the groupie scene. It was like, I'll write scripts for anybody, and I was like, huh, you know. And long story short, I get hooked on Oxy, and then one day I can't get that, and I my friend and I just went downtown, and we start doing heroin.
All right, so. Because Josh Adam Myers has told some crazy stories too about going downtown. How do you know where to go?
So funny. So one of the guys that was initially smoking crack was like, I don't know where to go, but he wasn't shooting it yet. He was just kind of a miscellaneous drug user. So it was one of the guys from freshman year. We're like 22, 23. We were actually getting that stuff from. I don't want to get anybody in trouble because I think they might still be in operation. But we were. There's legitimate businesses around Hollywood that also sell Vicodin and Oxy and injectable Vicodin. So we bought – one day they were out of the Oxy.
What do you mean legitimate businesses?
They're businesses that
pharmacies?
Sell – pharmacies? Like workout places.
I see.
You see a lot of like buff dudes in there.
Yeah.
They sell the cops, and so they're able to let it – you know. Cops love meth and steroids. You ever get pulled over? There's somebody like, hey, pull over. And you're like, bro.
Why are you so aggressive with your biceps? I'm saying,
always.
You see
those are the CHP.
Coming hard at you.
Not all of them, but it's a competitive thing.
But I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. But it makes sense to me. You want the advantage over, a physical advantage over some fucking lunatic.
Yeah. You're working crazy hours. Yeah. You know, the people that are gravitated towards those jobs are thrill seekers probably. No judgment over here. So, but I think that's how a lot of times these places are able to stay around.
Gotcha.
You know, so we start buying from there, and the guy I'm waiting in the car, and he comes back and he's like, yo dude, the guy is all out of Oxycontin, but he's got liquid Vicodin. I'm like, yeah, great. And he's like, but we have to inject it. And I was like, okay. Well, the guy that said that, he was starting to do steroids, and I got used to doing pills and going to his house and having needles everywhere. And one time he was like, hey, can you inject me? Because he got too big to inject himself. I was like, fine, I'm there fucking whacked out on pills, doing coke, and I injected him. And he has a bunch of clean diabetic needles, really thin diabetic needles. And I think this is, everybody always wonders, like, what's the leap towards that? The leap.
I had a friend that had, he used to shoot roids, and he would show me the needles, and he's like, these are the needles, you don't feel these needles.
Not
and
at
he
all.
Said it, the doctors get the ones because they're cheaper.
Yeah,
you, but the needle he showed me, I mean, it looked like it just disappeared in his skin. It didn't look like it punctured or anything.
If you were talking to that camera, I could probably sneak one in you.
Yeah,
and then
you'd
be like, wait, what do you it wouldn't be a big deal. You wouldn't even feel it, or you'd feel like a cold of the needle. So I got used to hanging out at this guy's house. Good friend of mine still. He's sober now. But like, I remember I took a sterile needle. I took it out of the thing just to fuck around. And I just, you know, I was high, just fucking around, just kind of itching myself with it. And I just put it in. I was like, oh, that doesn't hurt. That, you know, so just kind of save that for later. Like, oh, that's weird. In the movies, it was always just Leonard Skinner playing. And it was like, that wasn't a big deal. So I got, that wasn't a big deal. I need these pills. And when you don't have opiates, oh my God. Oh my fucking God. The pain. It's terrible.
Really?
It's terrible. I was cold turkey detoxing at my dad's house. I did that a couple times. I kicked at my dad's house. This is kind of a funny thing. I hate being I get really seasick and really car sick. I hate it.
I get sea queasy.
You get sea queasy?
Yeah, I don't actually vomit. I just get sea queasy.
I get seasick. And I was withdrawing and my dad was like caring for me and I was like, oh, like I would just watch the movie The Aviator. I got obsessed with the movie The Aviator. I would just shoot heroin and watch that three times a day. That was my thing. It was weird. But I was at my dad's house withdrawing and I was like wearing a blanket, just like dying. And my dad is like, how bad is it? I'm like, it's so bad. It's so bad. This is so bad. And he goes, is it worse than having the flu? I'm like, 100 times worse. He was like, is it like being seasick? I'm like, not that bad. I always thought of that. I was like, laughed at myself while I was withdrawing. I was like, not that bad. That's an 11. This is a 10. So heroin withdrawal is bad, but it's not as bad as being seasick. It's right at that edge. But the guy comes back to the car. We're in Hollywood. He goes, they got this, and he showed it to me, I think. He goes, it's just liquid. And it looks like
you're sitting in a car while he goes into this gym or wherever he goes, and he comes out with this thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes, they have this. And I go, fuck it, yeah. And
it's a little liquid vial.
Yeah, and the guy goes, hey, this is a whole different game than what you guys are doing. He warned him. So he told me as we were about to do it, he was like, hey, the guy warned me that this is, I was like, I don't give a fuck, dude. I'm like going to get sick. Like, who cares? And we just put it in and we didn't know what we were doing and it felt awesome. And it wasn't like this big,
did you hit a vein?
Thing.
Do you even
know? No, I just
put it in your body.
Pushed it in and I was like, oh, I'm not sick anymore. I feel euphoric.
And how do you know how much to try or anything?
I had no idea, dude.
That's what I'm saying. This
just
is
putting
fucking,
this in.
Yeah. Just so putting then, whatever this guy just gave you in your body with a needle.
In this body.
You don't
yeah.
even know if it's what he said it is.
Yeah.
That guy might not even know it's not that.
Yeah. Well, I think this is, of all the stuff I did, this at least was made in a factory. It was liquid Vicodin. So then fast forward to I'm with this guy and we're getting this shit. And one day they don't have this. Well, I'm sure as fuck not going back to Vicodin after shooting Vicodin.
Yeah, right. I guess that's got to suck.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I'm not going backwards. And so then he goes, you know, this was like my heroin buddy, or you're my opiate buddy. And so he goes, hey, let's go downtown. I know where I used to smoke it. I know where to get it. Dude, you're two white boys and you walk downtown and they just go, hey, get over here. You know, like it's on.
And what? Just out on the open street?
You can Google this. It's really interesting. From the 70s.
They waving you in like De Niro trying to get her to go in the fucking thing. Goodfellas, like in there, right in there.
They have kids waving you in.
Oh, come on.
It was on 5th and Spring.
That's their.
Or 6th and Broadway in downtown. And there's a corner you went to and there'd be three Hispanic kids. All these young kids. Because they maybe don't do as much time. So the guys would probably be waiting away. You just have three little Puerto Rican kids out there, kids, and that felt weird.
Yeah,
you know, that felt I didn't feel good about that, but I needed it so bad. But then I was just like, this is all bad, right? You know, like this. It was just like
their version of The Wire.
Yeah, it'd be like some 12-year-old Mexican girl out there, like, what's up? And you're just they're just looking at you. So you're pulling in your car or you're walking in or whatever, and they spot you right away. And it's just it's that's no longer now. That's been gentrified. And if you go to those same corners I just mentioned now, I have GencoPayments.com. I have a business where I work downtown, and I'm with my partner at Genco. That's GencoPay.com. But we're downtown, credit card processing, like we do. And I had a gourmet taco, like a $10-$12 lobster taco, and an ice cream, where I almost got fucking stabbed in 2005. And we were there a year ago. I'm eating with him, and I'm very open with him. He's a cool guy, the attorney I work with. And I go, dude, Theo, I fucking was right on this block, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Almost got stabbed in my pajamas. And I'm sitting there eating, you know, dressed like this, like a collared shirt, eating a fucking lobster taco. And then we had gelato afterwards. It's just a mind fuck. You know, it's just it's a mind fuck.
What do you mean almost stabbed in your pajamas? What happened? You roll down there so fucked up you're in your pajamas?
Well, dude, okay, so you...
Like your night pants and shit? You're just
pulling
up?
Just... Junkies just wear pajamas. You wake up and you just... That's it. That's your clothes.
Except for the fucking drug part, it sounds awesome.
It
really does.
You know what? You know, it's so funny because we come on podcasts and we tell the exciting stories. You come out here and you tell the peaks and the craziness, and that's what we want to hear, you know?
Yeah, the highlight reel.
The highlight reel.
The ESPN show.
The majority of being a junkie is waiting in parking lots or watching Law and Order. smoking cigarettes once you got your heroin. What I did, I didn't go to fucking, you know, when you're doing heroin, you're not like, now it's time. I would go to the Bukkakis, like I talked about on the other thing. Those were like weird weekend jaunts, or like those are, but the majority of the time, I just watched The Aviator or Law and Order. I got obsessed with Law and Order SVU, so I would spend all day, blah, 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 get my shit, come home, shoot up, and then just watch Law and Order. That was the, you know, it was very
I just want to say, there may be people who, I didn't just gloss over him saying Bukkake. You can listen to him on the Crab Feast and Your Mom's House, and he gets into very detailed Bukkake stories.
Someone found it on Reddit, because I read some of the YouTube comments, right? And there's always like, there's always got to be some fucking hater in there, you know, at the overwhelming.
And don't, if you don't know what that is, do not Google it at work, all right?
Don't Google it at work. You know? But so everybody's like, and I just didn't want to get involved, but I read a couple of the YouTube comments. I think rule number one is don't read the comments. But everybody was overwhelmingly like, oh, this is an awesome episode of Your Mom's House. This is fucking funny. And I got a couple guys in there like, this is fucking bullshit. And then
that might have been about my half of the show. We were on that show.
That was so crazy. Isn't that crazy? You and I had a talk.
Like a month before that.
Yeah, we shot that a month before.
Then I shot mine well after you shot yours.
Yeah.
You and I had talked about it, and then we end up the night before that episode comes up, we're at the Ice House talking about therapy and weight loss and all this stuff.
And the connectivity of life.
And then we wake up in the morning and we're on that episode.
We're both sandwiched on the same episode, and we call each other, and we're like,
what the? It makes no sense at all.
It makes no sense at all. We're talking about how crazy. That was a really, you know, that was a really special talk at the Ice House we had.
Yeah,
sitting at the table. It was almost like going to do the stand-up was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
You know, because like, hey, hold on, I got to go and do stand-up. No, yeah. I had a beautiful talk with you. You know, beautiful
Thank
talk
you.
With you. Yeah, that was
and
that was
And this
awesome.
Is too, by the way. I know you feel uncomfortable.
I feel
weird,
uncomfortable.
No, this is great. This is very helpful.
All right.
All right, so now we're down we're downtown in our pajamas.
Yeah, just a couple of the wild sort, you know, we're downtown in our pajamas.
So you're going out to this corner, and then they see you in the car, and they wave you out, and then you get out.
You're a white boy down there. So during the night.
And you're also, I'm guessing, carrying cash.
Cash, yeah. Carrying
you're
cash.
You're a target.
You know what's crazy is the cops won, and they cleaned up that area that I'm talking about. From the 70s to the mid-2000s, this block was allowed to do that.
That long?
Yeah. 40 deck. They let it now. I don't want to tell everybody where the dope spots are. I don't want to, but it's in another spot. They always let a certain element, like in Canada, I think they have junkie parks. They have that over here. There's streets where it's on and cracking, and the cops are like.
There's a street downtown that where they've let them claim it as their toilet.
That's where you go get heroin.
Piles of shit. Lying in the sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's where you go. And everybody says, aren't you scared to go there? It's not as scary as you think because it's almost like people on their last leg. It's scarier to go into gang territory wearing the opposite colors. But like down there, everybody's just grabbing for one $5 bag. And it's not so much, these aren't people like healthy like you and I working out. Fucking, your biggest risk is overdosing or going to jail. It's not someone else getting you.
And you're not scared of like, well, I know you're clean and sober now, but even back then of it being spiked or...
You're not even thinking that
as you're putting a needle in
your
arm?
Not a thought.
Man.
Not a fucking thought. It's scary to withdraw. That's scary. That's once it starts
I mean, how
on,
do you think about that now? You ever think about, I took this package from some drug dealer downtown and then put it in my body.
I'm very lucky.
You are.
And I'm very, very lucky.
How often were you doing that? Daily?
Yeah.
Multiple times a day?
Yeah.
How many 15, times a day?
15, 20 times a day.
Shooting up?
As much as I could put it
no.
in. As much as I could put it in.
You were shooting up 15 to 20 times
100%.
A day? Same needles?
Never enough. Never enough.
Were you ever sharing needles?
Yeah. I did it one time.
Man.
I did it one time. I had a sponsor in my 12-step program who's a junkie who got me sober. And he were, you know, just telling interesting stories. And he said that he had a... God, what is it called that junkies get? Not AIDS, but
hepatitis C.
He had hepatitis C. Now there's a cure for it. Fucking mm-hmm. take a thing. But this was 15, 10 years ago when I got sober. He had hepatitis, and I think he was going through that process. I don't know what happened with that. But he said there was a guy with AIDS. They were all shooting up. There's a guy with AIDS. He had hepatitis, and there was a guy with nothing. And so they were all like, okay, who has what? And the guy was like, I don't have anything. They're like, you use needle first. And then my sponsor was like, I have hep. And the other guy goes, I have AIDS. So the hep, you use it second, and the AIDS will finish it off. That's just, I never forgot that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He told me that at a cafe while we were, getting sober. I was like, damn.
What?
Like, so that's just to speak to that.
I'm going to get another latte.
Yeah. Nicest guy.
Jesus. That's what I'm saying. The mindset that goes into that.
Dude, you don't give a fuck. You don't give a fuck.
I mean, you do, because there's an order of how we're going to use this needle. But you don't give a fuck enough not to still put that in your body.
If there was a guy with AIDS sitting at this table shooting up, I'd be very sober. I'd be like, okay, all right, cool, no judgment. But like, whoa, what's going on? There's an active needle. It'd be like an active gun.
Yeah, it would definitely be weird because it's not the show.
Yeah. Yet. Yet.
Somebody out there is definitely going to do it.
Yet.
The shoot up podcast, heroin addicts come on.
That's a good idea.
People would
sleepy
watch
time.
That.
I'd watch
sleepy
it.
Sleepy time. Yeah, it's 3 minutes
time.
In.
Just kinda, first time I did stand up, I did heroin.
What do you mean? You did stand up on heroin?
Yeah, that's an interesting. I wanted to do stand up more than anything else, and I Googled where people were doing stand up. I told this. It was at the Blue Moon Cafe or this cafe in La Crescenta, California. And I went and I made this MySpace post. I'm like, I'm unveiling my work of art. And I actually ended up playing the Bukkake video. I rented a projector and played it on a bed sheet, the one that I played for Tom and Christina. And I was going to do that. And then I was going to do stand-up, or I did stand-up. But it was a fucking mess. And that was the first intervention that my family had for me, because I was, as I was telling jokes, I was falling asleep. And they weren't jokes. It was horrible.
Were they there for this?
My brother was, and then 30 or 40 other people, because I grew up here, and so everybody came to see this fucking crazy guy.
And I just want to ask this question: all the stories you're telling us that have continued at this, you still have breasts at this point?
Still have tits, dude.
Okay.
So you're gonna show a Bukkake video on a bed sheet? I almost shot out a glass window with a 12 gauge shotgun because I was really into GG and performance art. But all that wasn't crazy to me. Yeah, I was obsessed.
Yeah.
And all that wasn't crazy to me, because it was like I was terrified of having someone say you have tits on stage. So I was doing all this crazy, distracting stuff. But yeah, I was up there.
The art of diversion.
The art of diversion, dude. And I was up there falling asleep, hitting the mic, and then boof, waking back up. And then the next morning, everybody was over at my house with an intervention. And I was like,
you woke up to an intervention?
Yeah, I spent the night at my girlfriend's house, came back, and everybody had an intervention. And I was like, dude, see, and it was the first time I did stand up. And because I was nodding out, hitting the microphone, waking up. But in my mind, I was like, dude, you're just hating on me for following my dreams. This is what happens. I go and follow my dreams, and now you guys want to hate. And so that, I didn't end up getting sober. I was like, fuck you guys. I just, from then on, they tried to drug test me. But from then on, I had a fake pee. Like, I had synthetic pee.
Mm-hmm.
You would just crack it, and it would heat up. And then, I just had that ready. And so then I knew they were drug testing me. And I was like, you guys are all going crazy. And so they pinned me down. And I was like, fine, I can't pee with people watching. And I cracked the fucking pee. And I just sat back, and I was like, what does it say? And they're like, he's not on anything. I'm like, what do you guys want from me? And that was just, I probably owe an amends for that. But sad stuff.
So at what point, now you've told me during all this, there's a you go to Tijuana.
Oh, okay. So
it's about the same age, in 20s, early 20s?
Yeah, right before the heroin. So I'm still doing the oxy. So right before I go to downtown and make the switch to the needle, I go downtown with my friend, who I gave a shout out on last podcast, Adult Karate. He has a cool band, Adult Karate. He's sober now, too, I think like 8 or 9 years. 7, 8 or 9 years. 10, maybe 10. My best friend from growing up. We're in LA. We have these dealers and stuff around, just different ones. We're messing around with the guy that we go into the muscle place with. But you have a couple junkies stick with junkies because you have the same goal, right? You have the same, so it's like you team
makes
up.
Sense.
It's like, hey, this guy just wants to smoke weed and do shrooms. Like, bro, I'm not on that trip. I need to fucking get junk. So you have your friends like, hey, are you well? It's called getting well. Are you well? So,
getting well means what? You're holding. You have it.
Getting well means that you're not sick anymore because you have drugs. You're just trying to get well. You're just trying to get
that's
well.
That's the way you say it. Not yeah, high. Yeah. You're not trying to get high.
You're trying to get well.
Gotcha.
Just trying to get well. Just trying to get well. So,
man, you guys got a better fucking campaign going on for that shit than a lot of
getting well,
fucking
dude. Just trying to be a whole person. Yeah. Just trying to be whole. And so this was a fucking wild story. So my dad warned me. He goes, Steven, with your mouth and your craziness, you can never go to TJ. You're going to get in trouble. You get in trouble down there. And for a lot of LA kids, like, that's TJ. Mexico's right there. So you get in trouble in Mexico, there's nothing we could do.
I've been.
There's nothing we could do. And you get in trouble down there, and the rules are different. And people want to say shit about the police here, treatment here. Dude, it's not great. Sure, if you're a person of color. I have friends that are black and Hispanic and stuff like that, and they tell me the stories and stuff. And I
probably said this before, but when I first moved here and worked at this hotel, I got to be good friends with a lot of the bellmen and stuff. Yeah. And they were all Mexican dudes.
Yeah.
And they, because they had California plates on their car, if they rolled down into TJ, they would come back and tell me. They'd be like, Ryan, those fucking cops are so crooked. They don't care who you are.
No.
It's not like if you're Mexican, like, you can get out of here. They'll be
give us
$200, and then they'll give $200. Because my partner needs $202, and they said, you need to carry cash on you. If you don't have that shit, you could be fucked down there.
Fuck around down there. And so that's why I say,
but now, like, it's really dangerous down there. Now the gangs are really going at it.
Well, there's stories I can't tell. I got warned for telling a story before, so I won't tell
it. Warned?
There's just certain stuff you don't talk about down there.
But somebody warned you.
It was just, you don't talk about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's things going on down there that is none of my business. But this was because
somebody reminded you of that.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. In a very nice way, out of nowhere.
We will not talk about that.
Yeah. Woo. Message received. Message received. You don't hear me. Message received. Message received. Got love for all y'all.
But what we can talk about is your story.
It's my story with the Tijuana cops, because that is what it is, you know. So I told my friend Casey, I'm like, hey dude, this girl's not calling us back. This girl we used to cop from that looked like Lucy Liu, this lesbian chick that used to sell us oxys and stuff. I had a couple different, like, you know, she was interesting, very interesting girl. She would FedEx it to you anywhere in the world. I was briefly a part of this pill ring. So I just had to go into doctors with her and complain of 9 different symptoms, and they would write 1,000 scripts under my name, and then I would get a discount on my pills for doing that in Hollywood. And
really?
And I got a part of this whole thing, and my mom found a bottle, because she found all these bottles that I had my name on. Cops couldn't pull me over because I had everything in my name. And my mom was like, grab the phone, and she goes, I'm calling the police, and I'm ratting out this doctor. And it was like this huge Asian thing. And I fucking slammed the phone on her. And my dad was like, to my mom, he was like, you stop right now. And I'm like, Mom, you cannot rat. You know, it was just, don't fuck around with these people. My mom was going to rat. And my dad tore the fucking phone off the thing. It was like, I was like, Dad, my dad's a smart. I said, Dad, she makes that call, we're all in trouble. And so that call didn't get made. But that girl wasn't calling back. And we're like, damn. And so I told my friend, are these interesting stories?
Fuck yeah. I'm over here terrified.
Yeah, I can't even tell, like, what I'm even saying anymore.
About the bust up Asian pill ring over here. Good God.
I haven't thought about that in a long time. I had problems because I grew up in San Gabriel Valley. Shout out to my Chinese, Vietnamese. You don't want problems with those guys.
Big Asian community out in, like, Walnut and all that.
When
we go on the way to Brea, there's
huge
communities out that way.
Brea, Huntington Beach, and San Gabriel Valley. Yeah. Love the food, Valley Boulevard. But I grew up with all those crazy fucks. You know, Fung Chow, the door guy at the Comedy Store. He's like, oh, he found out I was from Pasadena, and he was like, we go to Chinese restaurants with him. But yeah, you know, as a kid, I had some problems with some Chinese gangs. It's different.
I've watched docs on them, and they don't fuck around.
I piped off to this kid that was in, like, a Vietnamese gang, and he just calmly said, okay. they're polite.
Yeah.
They're no shit talking.
Right.
Okay. And fast forward to my, you know, there was gunplay involved, and that's a whole other story.
What do you mean they came at you like
they
that?
They came at me, and my dad had to shoot.
Nah.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, and then the Vietnamese guy's grandmother or mother called my mother and made us apologize because my friends started tearing down this guy's house because he came after us. I got to come back. And I'm actually friends with those guys today. Like, I'm friends with all those guys. Like, they respected the fact that, like, we went so crazy. But it was just like, yeah, that was the meth days. So me and Casey from Adult Karate go down to Mexico. We just go, hey, let's go down to fucking Mexico. We don't know what the fuck we're doing.
What's the goal, though, to get drugs?
Vicodin and Oxycontin.
Okay.
This is, you know, early 2000s. So we go down, park in the lot, walk across. You walk over that turnstile. Now, to someone who's a junkie, who's a kid, who's like, hey, I'm just in fucking this crazy part of San Diego. You're not, dude.
No, you're not.
See, the hills of San Diego, there's a different president. There's a different, and it's just, people, Tijuana, it's cool. It's cool as fuck. But it is, it's more dangerous than Iraq. It's more dangerous.
It's the fucking Wild West.
It's the fucking Wild West, and you will get your fucking head cut off. And it is no big deal.
There's nobody stopping it. Stoplights or stop signs or anything.
They're a white boy down there. They want your money and they're cool, but they don't give a fuck.
No.
And if you're Mexican, a Mexican American, and you go down there, they hate you even more. Because you're like, oh, you're a fucking American? You know, because I was bitching to them, my friends that are Hispanic living in LA, and they're like, bro, they fucking give us more shit because we're fucking living in America. So I go down there, we start doctor shopping. There's pharmacies that sell shit, right? If you're ever in a bind, they are a good place for, like, antibiotics. You don't have health insurance. You need some, like, you got strep throat. Always.
I hear people go for dental work and stuff like that.
All day. It's not bad. All day. Dental work, all kinds of shit.
But when
like
you, so you just go into these places and you ask for it and they just will give it to you.
So we did it wrong. You got to know which places to go to. So there's certain drugs that are okay and certain not. Oxy, I didn't know it at the time. But our government, it's not their government, the United States is like, yo, dude, we're not going to give you support. You know, there's different, like, weird treaties that are constantly happening. They just made cocaine legal down there.
Legal?
I just read some article about Mexico making recreational. I'm sure our government is, and I don't know the ins and outs of that. You can Google it and see what ended up happening. But I'm sure our government's like, all right, you could do whatever you want. However, we're not going to help. You know, there's this weird back and forth where they don't want it to be too crazy down there because Americans will just take the fuck advantage of that. So they kind of like, so I guess our government had been like, yo, dude, you can't be just selling Oxy. We're not allowing you guys to sell Oxy on the street like that. Because who's coming down? It's not Mexicans who are doing Oxy. The white kids who were coming down doing that shit. So we go down and we just do it all wrong. We're fucking, I'm dressed like a fucking psychopath. My friend buys an oil painting of a Mack truck, right? About that size. And it just says superstar. So we're whack. We're whack. My friend's like, my friend Casey was like, I have to have this fucking painting. I'm like, bro, we'll get the painting later. Like,
yeah, you
like,
don't want to carry that around.
We're in Mexico. And he's Japanese. He's half Japanese and 100% gay. And looks like a good looking Bruce, not Bruce Lee, but he has a vibe to him. Like, you know, so just that'll just let, we stick out. So he's that, I'm this fucking white boy with weird fucking hair in my pajamas, wearing sandals, and now he's got an oil painting of a Mack truck that says superstar.
Right, yeah.
And we're just like going to fucking pharmacy after pharmacy after pharmacy.
And what are they telling you? No?
Like this. Watch. You ask for Oxy?
Can I get some Oxy?
No.
Really?
No. And we're going, yes. Because I had heard, I didn't know, but I had heard, you go down there. You go down to Mexico, you fucking ask. So like, there must be some problem. Oxycontin, you know. And they're no. And so everybody, we're hearing like five or six notes. Dude, you're already a fucking target. You're on Revolution Street. You're fucking.
You got an oil painting.
You got an oil painting of a Mack truck, and you're going knocking. So finally, this place called, I'll never forget the name, because what happened afterwards was just hell on earth. But it was called Best Buy Pharmacy. Same logo as Best Buy. It's a Best Buy. Best Buy Pharmacy. And I'm like, Best Buy Pharmacy. That's our place.
That's the American trap right
there.
Yeah,
I'm like, that feels safe. So we go in and the guy goes, like, gives us the eyes. We go, Oxy. He goes, hold on. There's a guy in, like, a Mexican, like, Suavecito sleazeball car salesman in a suit just in the pharmacy watching us. And he made eyes with us. It's like something out of a Quentin Tarantino movie. You know, he makes eyes with us, kind of looks at him, goes, tequila. Like, hold on, you know? Like, and this guy was looking at us. He goes, okay. The guy leaves and he goes, okay, what do you want? I'm like, dude, he's like, I have everything. So we're like, fuck yeah. Spent all of our money. We want some cocaine. We want some oxy. We want some fucking this. We want some that.
How much money all in? What'd you bring down? 1,000 more?
500.
Less? 500.
You know, just every, you know, kids just scrounging up drug money. I'm guessing fucking three to five hundred.
All right, now you got this stuff. So at least in your hands. But even
it's in a fucking bag. All right. In a lunch bag.
And no thought about being scared to cross the border with this shit.
I'm paranoid. Always have been. Casey, cool. He doesn't have that anxiety shit. He has other probably issues or whatever, but he's like, we're fine. We're cool. Like, just, he's like, we're cool. I'm like, but we both have the sun started going down. We have this oil paint in the bag, and we go for tacos. And I'm like, let's eat tacos. And I said, Casey, I have a feeling this sun goes down. I was like, we got to get the fuck out of here. We got to get out of here. And he goes, all right, let's go. So we eat our tacos real fast, and I have a bad feeling. We got to get the fuck out of here. So we are walking back over the river. And I mean, I had nightmares about this fucking years.
Dude. You did?
Years. Years.
You saw it vividly just like it happened?
Years. I would not go back there. I later dated a girl that's parents were political, big political people in Mexico, and she would invite me over. I said, I'm not going.
Oh, you don't mean Tijuana. You mean I'm not going back to Mexico.
I would not go back to Mexico.
I won't date a girl named TJ.
Yeah, I'll go to TJ Maxx.
I'm a Ross man myself.
I'm a Ross man, dude.
That's where I get all my night pants.
Yeah, fuck.
My heroin Simpson night pants.
It was pajamas, dude. It's all about pajamas and Tempur-Pedic slippers. That was my gear. So I go, we got to go back. And I had that feeling. You know, you get that feeling. I never got arrested in L.A., thank God, buying heroin, because that feeling would be like, don't go down right now. Hold on. Because they were clean, and they were trying to gentrify, and they eventually were successful. But downtown L.A., because I listened into that voice. I'm like, I would go down there as much as you need. I'd be like, just wait. I remember my friend Billy saved our fuck. He we were driving down there. He pulls off the side of the freeway. He goes, the voice told me not to go down. And we needed it. And I go, let's go, let's go. He goes, nope. You do not listen to that voice, and
even on drugs,
dude. Because there's that you're gonna get you got that, like, you're gonna go down. I'm a 12 step, you know, and every guy that did serious prison time, it's always, and I never talked about this or thought about this, but I'm just thinking about it right now. They always say, you know, in that movie Blow, remember that movie Blow, when he went back for that one extra deal, and he knew, he was like, something smelled off, and I was down there. One time, this nerdy black dude, like Steve Urkel kind of black dude, was like, hey, man, where do you get the stuff at? I was waiting. And I was like, what stuff? And he's like, you know, nose candy, or did some bullshit. And I'm like, I just looked around. I'm like, mm-mm. And I needed it. I was in my pajamas. I needed it. Dude, I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I went back to my car. There's a fucking ice cream truck, paddy wagon, just slamming motherfuckers down.
Really?
Yeah. That happened a couple times where you're just like, you just go in, you know, you go in. Like on the Hunting Channel, if you watch the deer when it gets baited, it'll always do that one look where it's like, no, I still want pussy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's that one, whoa, I had that. So did my friend in Tijuana. And we were like, nah, we're okay. Had it to do over again. I was throwing it in the fucking trash can and ran back. But I didn't. And so we're eating at this taco place. We start walking. Got the fucking superstar oil painting. Got a fucking, I have the drugs.
Are you holding them in a bag? Are they in your shirt?
I have them in a hoodie with the ones with the pockets that go through. Yeah. So I just have them like I'm pregnant. And we're walking over the river, the Tijuana River. Dude, I don't want to go to jail in Tijuana. I'm scared of great whites. There's a couple things I'm really terrified of. Great white sharks.
Are they in the river?
No.
I mean, what are you worried about?
Just in general. Oh, I just see. In okay. general. And Mexican cops. And it was AIDS. I was terrified of AIDS growing up. But those are just because you can't talk your way out of getting eaten by a great white, and you can't talk your way out of Mexican. They don't give a fuck, dude. I'm a talker. They don't. They don't give a fuck. So we're walking over the river, the Tijuana River. There's like a little fucking walkway over. There's San Diego. San Diego is fucking two blocks away. Beautiful hills. San Diego, America. I hear ring, 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 like a motorbike cuts in front of me. And I was like, oh, shit. And it's a Tijuana cop on a bike. his helmet has a 9-inch nail sticker on it.
What?
Never forget. You know, never forget
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
That's never not... fuck. So he's into cool shit. He's into dark American shit. You know, like,
yeah.
There's the one thing I know is that he's a Mexican cop. He's into the 9-inch nails.
He's about to go do that shit Trent Reznor does in his videos, dude, you motherfucker. I'd be scared to death like this, though, not this guy.
100%. He wasn't into Sublime. He wasn't into Pearl Jam. He was into 9-inch nails. Closer to you.
Yeah.
You know, he was like that Mexican, you know? And so obviously was into the arts and into fucking violence and into fucking with people. And he pulls over and he goes, What's in your pocket? And I go, nothing. And he goes, go in your pocket. And I opened up the sandwich bag, and I remember saying, it's for mi madre. Because people go over there for medicine for their families. Mi madre. He goes, oh, okay. And then he starts going through the thing, and I look at my friend Casey. And my friend Casey's, he got out of handcuffs in jail one time. He's very limber. I think it's the Japanese. But I look over, and he's fucking flipping things off the fucking, you know, he's going, you know, just flipping his pills off of the side of the river, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because he's focused on me. And then he realizes we're both together. And he goes, oh, you have money? And we had spent all of our fucking money. And I go, no. He goes, oh, okay. You're getting 10 years. 10 years. You see the judge tomorrow.
Holy shit.
Because of Oxy. 10 years. So I'm like, dude, I'm going to be like the dude who cuts hair in prison. Like, I'm already thinking, like, I'm just going to be changed, dude.
You're already there. You're the prison barber already.
Because I watched a documentary on a guy that was doing mission work and got in trouble, and he came back fluent Spanish and knew how to cut hair. Because when he was cutting hair, they weren't stabbing him. So he was just, like, this old white dude and you know how you just gravitate towards, like, my fear gravitates towards weird scenarios. And I'm like, bro, I'm cutting hair in a fucking TJG, all the rest of, you know, oh my God. So some kid is spray painting. I don't know why this fucking kid was doing it, but this Mexican kid, you know, from Mexico, Tijuana kid, was spray painting on the bridge. He looks over, catches him spray painting.
While the cop's right there, he's
fucking
spray
busting
painting.
Us, dude. Just, you know, some punk rock shit, you know? Like, so he goes over to him. I go, Casey, let's go. So I walk. I start walking away. And I'm like, dude, I'm getting away. I'm just walking, like, slow and steady. I'm getting away. I'm looking over. I'm like, do I... Swear to God.
I would have thought the same thing.
Do I jump over the bridge and kill myself?
Oh, was it that far down?
It was far down. It was like, you know, yeah. I forget. You know, my mind plays tricks on me. So I don't know. And it was the bridge you walk over to the river. So enough, you know, there's concrete, I think, but enough to, like, kill you. Like, I was just like a rat that got trapped. And I'm like, fuck, dude. So I'm walking, and I remember seeing this black couple walk over. And I just go, help me. Help me. They're just, like, looking at me like, what the fuck? You know, help me. And so it was like out of a movie. And I was walking fast, and I just hear that. Ying, ying.
Oh, God.
Scroots in front of me, and he goes, get the fuck over there. He goes, you think you could run from me? And I'm like, oh, my God. So as he's over with us, he had put in the kid, while we were walking, he had put the kid in handcuffs, right? He put the kid in handcuffs that was spray painting the wall, and he started renegotiating with us. You know, let me see your ID, blah, 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 this and that. The kid said, fuck you, to him. So he goes over to the kid, takes a mag light out without any expression, and caves the side of his fucking head in.
Nuh-uh.
Caves his fucking head
in. What do you mean? A little kid?
A kid that was tagging. 12-year-old,
13?
Yeah.
He just beat him with a flashlight?
Caved his fucking head in with a flashlight. And remember on Terminator when they wouldn't have facial, they would just...
Yeah.
Like that. He had latex gloves on, so you know he's getting into some bullshit. Decorated military guy, 9-inch nails thing, and he just fucking caved this kid's head in.
Jesus Christ.
Blood everywhere. He gets dragged off to the side by his friends, his other fucking...
You're watching this.
Well, I watched that. So when he was getting back to negotiating with us, the kid was like, hey, puto, you know, said something, and he went over and caved the side of his fucking head in.
Jesus Christ.
Caved it in. Killed.
He could... Wait.
Dude, I can't see that kid.
You're telling me he killed that guy?
Guy wasn't moving. He fucking hit him 8 or 9 times with
a
mag light.
Holy shit.
With a mag light. Just,
yeah, they're heavy as fuck.
Waka, waka, waka. Like, not over here when people are like, hey, police beatings. Like, not to like, down talk what happens out here, but it was a different.
And nobody recording him back then?
He wasn't hiding it.
Right.
He just did that fucking cave the side of this guy's head in. Tourists were walking over, and then comes back to me and goes, okay. So now.
Holy shit.
Tears welling up in my eyes. That's what he did to his own people.
Right.
Yeah. That's what he did to a Mexican. Now I've got to oil you.
I'd have been sirring his ass up and down.
Dude, I'm fucking so scared at this point. So.
God.
So then he starts negotiating with us. We don't have money. He goes, off to see the judge. And I remember saying, I don't want to see the judge. And he goes, you see the judge? Who the fuck is the judge? You know, who's the judge?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That could just be a dude named the judge. Yeah.
When girls get around, you know, you have like growing up here, you have friends from San Diego. And one of my exes from San Diego was like, oh, we got caught fucking taking a piss over there or something like that. And she's like, oh, I had to show him my tits. And, you know, they go back and they'll like, you know, it's different for the girls too. So they'll arrest, you know, fucking party girls in San Diego and do whatever the fuck they want down there. And then after a night or whatever, you're released, you're cool. So, you know, they've told me some pretty sad stories,
Jesus.
You know? So I had a friend that got caught with blow down there and he was able to pay the guy off. He found some money in his sock. And then the one of the judges or whatever did blow with him in the police station and let him go.
After that?
Yeah. My friend used to smoke crack in jail down there. My, you know, I don't want to say his name, but he used to go to the bullfights and smoke crack. That was his thing. He got caught, and he was like, "Dude, you flip enough money, they'll let you smoke rock in the jail." Well, I got some interesting friends for you that are non-comics. Wow. That would be probably good for this podcast. So then the guy comes back to renegotiate with me, and I see this kid getting carted off over to the side. He's probably killed. In my mind, he's dead. He caved his head in with a mag light. Then came over. It was like he's playing two hands of poker. Dealt with that. Then came back over without an emotional peak or a, you know, like, okay, so now with you, you know, it was like another table at a restaurant. I'm like, he's like, so you don't have money. We spent all the money. But you can go see the judge. And I'm like, I don't want to see the judge. He goes, you go see the judge. You're getting 10 years. Get the fuck in the car. So then he hooks me and Casey together on this fucking, two handcuffs. And you know those, like, Broncos? They have Broncos, the Federales, with a welded machine gun to the top. They're like military videos, or military vehicles. And inside, there's a cab. They kind of hollow out. That's like their paddy wagon. It looks like a paddy wagon. So they're just rounding up motherfuckers. So I get thrown in there. And we're in there with a guy from, a Los Angeles gang. A Mexican guy, but you can tell he's, like, a Mexican-American. Face tattoos everywhere. And he's tweaking. And he's on meth. He's not in handcuffs, but he's so there's six or seven of us in this paddy wagon, fucking cramped.
Yeah, in a Bronco. That's cramped.
Bronco, yeah. And he's like, I wish I could, should I show you?
Yeah.
It's just like, I'll never forget this. Because he's like, oh, because we got thrown in there. And he's like, it's about to go off right now.
And like, I would be fucking scared to death.
My dude. And he goes, your homie over there? And he goes, you and your homie, you're going to be fighting all night. He goes, you ever been to fucking Mexican prison before? We're going to prison, homie.
And he's excited about
Yeah,
it.
And he's fucking
He can't
lit,
wait.
Dude.
Yeah, he
you can
can't
ask
wait.
Fucking George Perez, you know, like that whole like vibe, just like, ooh, like he's on meth and he was fucking doing it in there. He's like, you want some meth? I'm like, no. He's like, dude, you don't want to sleep. He's like, you don't want to sleep. He's like, it's about to fuck. We're fighting tonight. And he's getting hyped up, sitting up on this little, like, wheel well in there. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm sitting there. My friend Casey's sitting there. And there's two, like Mexican, like, grandpas. They're just, like, you know, Mexican, like, worker guys. And the one guy's crying. And I go, why is he crying? And he goes, because he's been to Mexican prison before. And I, dude, so then I go, dude, what, how more can you scare a person? Dude, there's no, it's like at that threshold, I start crying, dude, tears start welling up. He goes, oh, he's like, homie, because he later became my friend after stealing my cell phone, but he told me he was hiding from a murderer down in Tijuana, right? So he's like, oh, I killed someone, I'm down here. And he was like, oh man. He's like, dude, it's on. And then I start crying. He goes, oh, tears off now. No tears. And I stopped. He goes, dude, you don't. No. And I was like, okay. Then my phone goes, ring. It's like an old Nokia. It goes, deet, deet. And he goes, what's that? It was my dad. But I couldn't hear him. And it was like such a mind fuck because it's not like you're in Iraq.
Oh, he's right there.
Dude, he's right there. There's San Diego. So I'm in the back of this dark fucking thing. And he goes, hey, I need that phone, dude. Right away. Here you go. Bro, yeah. I'm not. Bro, my new buddy needs a phone. People always wonder.
I can get you a landline, too, if you need it.
People go like, oh, I wonder what I would be like in prison. Yeah. I now know, dude. A bitch, dude. Here you go. Here's my phone, dude. Yeah. Like, just like, here you go, bro. So, whatever I got to do to survive here, you know? So, he takes my phone. He puts it in. And then he goes, then the other Mexican guys are starting to speak in Spanish. And then he goes, they said something funny. And I go, what do they say that's funny? And he goes, they said your friend looks like Bruce Lee. And they want to fight him, dude. So my friends have Japanese fucking gay, you know, artist, you know, and so yeah. And so am I, you know, like just like two little artists down there, and I'm like, Casey, dude, they think you look like Bruce Lee, dude, and he's just like frozen. And I'm like, oh my god, dude, like what the fuck, you know, and so then the one guy starts throwing up in the back of the car,
great,
all over all of us, dude, just no one, the tweaker dude's just like, oh shit, like
he's loving everything.
He's loving it.
Don't
dude.
You wish you could be him in that situation?
Bro, he's like, oh, we kept saying, we're fighting tonight, dude. We're fighting tonight.
Wait,
dude. He's like, oh. And so he's just like, he's just perched, ready. That's what he was built for.
Yeah.
He was just like,
purpose.
You and I doing a big stand up show, like, woo, we got 1,200 out there. Woo wee. He's like, yeah. Because he's probably walking around in fucking LA somewhere trying to get a job, like not fitting in. But dude, he is at what God made him for, dude. He's a warrior, and we are, dude. He looked at me. I'll never forget when he was like, oh, you never met a Mexican. He was
and
like excited,
himself.
Like, oh, you never done stand up before.
Yeah, right,
oh, it's wild.
Oh,
like,
you
was,
about to have a good time.
We
tonight.
Are fighting tonight, dude. He kept saying, dude. We are fighting tonight. Just tweaking with just all this.
And
fucking...
also, are you scared that you're gonna have to take your shirt off once you get in there?
Oh, is bro, I'm gonna be the chick getting ramped.
Oh,
like, bro,
my god,
that was 1 of 100 thoughts. That was 1 of 100 thoughts, bro. That was a floating thought.
That's an extra layer, too. That's so big.
I was like, oh, yeah, that of course, of course. They're going to be coming on my tits.
God.
Like,
oh, God.
I did think that.
But
I kept thinking the most about the hair. I was going to be the barber.
God.
I was going to be the fucking barber, dude, because of that documentary I watched.
I love
you know?
This guy in the Bronco, man. He can't wait to
get
there.
Oh, dude, ooh, we're about to fight. And so then we're talking, and I they have like little holes in the back of that thing. So light's coming through, and everybody would take turns looking at him. And this guy was the alpha dog in the fucking thing. He was looking. He's like, oh, we're on Revolution. I was like, dude, I want to see. Because I'm like, we're back in there. We've been in there for a half hour, 45 minutes, circling, looking for other people to bust, I assume. And, you know, there's that moment. Grew up, upper middle class, white kid in L.A., knowing full well if I got in trouble, like, you know, I would have some kind of, like, justice or, like, my mom and dad, my uncle's a lawyer. You know, that's kind of in the back. Bro, you see that Mexican flag on Revolution? It's about the size of a football field just going like this. And I look out of the thing. I'm in shackles in a fucking thing. And all I see is a big Mexican flag. And the guy said, Poppy, you're not in your home anymore. And I was like, oh, my. I just got chills right now. Like, Poppy, you're not in your home anymore. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude. This is going to be so bad. So then we're driving back and forth. And so then they pull over and they grab my friend Casey. They go, do any of you have credit cards? And he had a credit card on him. An ATM card, and they go, come out. And I love Casey. He was the best man at my wedding, and I just said, I love you, dude. He's like, I love you too. And you're just they pull over on some random street in TJ. It's now getting dark, and your best friend from fucking childhood,
and your only fucking company in this whole thing.
He's now out of the thing.
Oh god.
And now the door's shut, and we're just doing these zigzag patterns around the outskirts of TJ. And this guy's like, dude, this is good. This is good. That means they think you have money. So they're not going to take... This guy was just like telling me the truth. You know, he's like they think
like
you have
money.
Like
your shaman in the back there.
Yeah, he's like, they think you have money.
Yeah, this guy is... He's pissed though. He probably wants to be there already.
I'll never forget that. Ooh. He's just like, dude, he was so excited to fight. And so Casey leaves. He's gone for a half hour. And he's like, I'm like, where are we going? He's like, dude, they're zigzagging around because they're marching him. He knew exactly what was going on. He's like, they're going to ATMs for him. So I'm, dude, my friend's gone. I'm like, I've never seen my fucking, they're going to blow his fucking brain. They just killed somebody in front of me. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Casey gets thrown back in the fucking, in the car. So the car stops. There's my best friend again. Casey, what happened? They just marched me around with machine guns from ATM to ATM, Jesus getting as much Christ. As they could. Some of the ATMs wouldn't work. And he was like, I was like in front of people. He's like, dude, they were walking into restaurants with this guy. Just, you know, ATM machines. Dude, just God fucking boom, boom, like doing their thing. That's their thing. You know, like I imagine like that's what federales do. You get down there and you live down there long enough and, you know.
So how do you get out of this?
So he comes back in the car. And so the guy's like, what happened? And Casey was like, I eventually was able to give him 200. He's like, that's the golden number. He's like, you gave him 200? And Casey's like, yeah. And he's like, you guys are cool. But, I mean, we're still locked in a fucking cage.
Yeah.
So now we're driving. I'm like, dude, we're driving farther away. He's like, no, dude, this is it right here. This is make or break, you know, kind of like thing. He's like, this is it.
Game,
you know?
Show I was back yeah. there.
He was like, 200? He's like, that's a good number, you know? And remember, you said 200, right? It's always 200.
That's what they told me.
It's 200, dude. It's 200.
So but like, 200 for me and 200 for my partner.
See, this was just 200. So I kept asking him if he had more in case he didn't. So they pull us out of the car. I didn't even say goodbye to this guy. Like, bye. You know, like, so they pull
I'll
us,
see you, man.
They pull us both back. And I said, so what now? And the guy goes, go up against that wall. So now we're on the outskirts of TJ, quarter mile out.
Jesus Christ.
There's a dirt road, like a dirt yard, and a fucking wall. And once I got out of the car, I realized we're in a convoy of cars. So there's like three other Broncos there. They're all drinking beers, all military, fucking like federales. They're all drinking beers in this yard. There's a wall. Captain comes over and he goes, fucking cuts on his face. All of them had surgical gloves. That's this for some reason. That's, the surgical yeah. gloves. It's just like cut. Yeah. You know, just like take it. It was just yeah. like they didn't want to yeah. mess up their hands for their no, wives. You no. know, they don't take work home.
Hug their kids and shit.
Hug their kids. I never ever. There's something so cold about that. They were pristine military, and they had surgical gloves. And that's just nothing good happens when you're wearing a surgical. There's blood is gonna go down or gore. And so they gave us our fucking drugs back.
No
the bag.
Way.
He goes, take the drugs. I go, I don't want to take the drugs. And the captain guy goes, take the fucking drugs. He pushed it back on me. He goes, go up against that wall. And so I like looked at my friend Casey, and this calm came over me. Like, we're getting, dude, they all had machine guns.
Executed.
We're getting executed. And they want us to have this. There's even a guy with like a camera. So they're going to go, two weddos, yep. drug runners. And I just, I was thinking about that at my wedding when Casey was my best man. I was like, looking at him, and I was, you know, up there at the altar, at the thing, and I was like flashing back to him giving the speech. And I'm like, bro, I've been through a lot with this guy, like, you know. And they put us up against the wall, so we're walking up against the wall, and we're sitting there holding. I'm holding a fucking bag full of drugs, and I go, I love you, Casey. You're my best friend. And he goes, I love you too, Stephen. And we're just sitting there, and it's like
facing them or facing the wall.
Facing them. And they're all sitting there, but they don't have guns drawn, but they all have guns, yeah. and they're sitting there looking at us. And then they all fold over hysterically laughing. And I'm like, dude, when you're at a peak fear for that whole time, when you're at a peak fear, it doesn't go, there's level 10, it just doesn't, you know, you march a dog around, and eventually it's just gonna, you just go somewhere else. You know, those guys on the military, you know, so I was just kind of like, well, they're laughing, sick bastards, you know, goodbye. I said goodbye to my best friend. I'm in the hills of fucking, you know, off the thing in TJ. They all start laughing hysterically. The captain comes back over to me. He grabs the drugs. He goes, next time you come to TJ, hide it in your fucking ass. And everybody starts laughing, dude. And I'm like, ha, 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 you know, like, what does this mean? You know, like, and he's like, I'm like, it's like Pee Wee Herman, you know, like, ha, ha. And then he fucking pushes it back. And he's like, in your fucking ass. And everybody starts laughing. And I'm like, ha, ha. And then he goes, okay. And I go, what? He goes, oh, have fun in Mexico. And then they all get in their cars and fucking drive off.
Get the fuck out of here.
So I go, Casey, what do we do? And he goes, He's in shock. We just thought we were going to get mowed down, bro. And so I'm now sitting there. And so we go, we got to get home, dude, because we could see the lights of San Diego. I'm like, we got to get home. So we start walking. He goes, what do you want to do? I go, bro, do you want these on you? He goes, no. I don't want these on me. Bro. I threw them in a fucking trash can. I go, let's get the fuck out of here. So they gave him back his, when they start laughing, they gave him back his, they go, do they have anything? And they go, yeah, this fucking painting. So they bring him back this superstar Mexico painting. The guy like looks at it, he's like, a superstar, you know, and like gives it back to him. It was like, they were like tripping on us, bro. They're like, these fuck, you know, but they probably see this shit all the time. Just goofed out Beavis and Butthead white boys down there, you know? And so he has his superstar fucking oil painting. I throw the drugs. We start running. So now there's a fucking line to get back into America, right? Line. Dude, he and I fucking cut 158 whatever people. Jumped over to the turnstile. Fucking big black military, U.S. Never been so happy to see military, U.S. Fucking, he was like, we cut everybody. We're like, we went, ran into customs. And he was like, whoa, what the fuck? It looked like we were, and he goes, what the fuck are you guys doing? I go, just happy to be back in the greatest country on earth, sir. And he goes, just shook his head. And I fucking went home, went through to San Diego, broke down hysterically crying, hugged and kissed the trash can. And I love you, America. I love you, America. I love you, America. I love you, America. Mwah. I swear to God, got on my knees and was hugging a trash can at that $7 lot where you get your car. I love you, America. I love greatest country on earth. So I still, you know, there's problems with America, but I don't forget that, dude. I don't forget that.
I wouldn't either. I'm not going to forget hearing about it.
I don't forget that. I love you, America. And we go back, and you know, it goes from there. You know, it's fucking. I get back, and that's so funny because that fear to not do drugs. I promised God I would never do drugs again. I was praying to a friend who had recently committed suicide, who I believe helped me get out of that. Dude, a buddy, Rich, was half Nicaraguan, half white, and he was really good in Mexico. And I was like, Rich, please get me out. So I think my friend Rich help me, but I promised God I would never do drugs again, and that, you know, even that, like,
didn't keep you off the drugs.
Next day I was looking for him.
Dude, I know we got to get you out of here, but I want to, obviously you got the surgery, so when you come back part two, I want you to talk more about coming out of that and still how fucked up you were and it didn't stop you and into finally cleaning up, because it's I think this is fantastic.
I had fun.
This is a great fucking episode.
I can never tell. When I go off the cuff and just kind of, you know, I can't tell.
But it's like, unfortunately, it's normal to you. You're used to the story and you lived it. For people to hear that, they're like, what the fuck? And I've heard it, but not all of it. So thank you for opening up and sharing.
I appreciate it.
Do your promos again real quick, please.
Yeah, no, if there's anybody out here who's been touched by anything that I said, please contact me, especially if it's merchants that are playing in the high-risk space, like Kratom, Guns and Ammo. Guns and Ammo, I don't judge. Tobacco, firearms, gambling. Gambling. I'm talking to you, Kratom. I'm talking to you, vape. They're cracking down on vape now. They shouldn't. Go to GenCopay. That's GENCOPAY.com. I'm Steve Randolph. You reach out to me. It's partnered with an attorney, Theo Monroe. We'll take care of you. We don't judge. We believe in second chances at GenCopay, and we'll get you processing, credit card processing that you deserve. Everybody deserves the ability to take payments. Everybody. Also, please follow me on Instagram, Stephen Randolph 2, on Instagram and Twitter, StevenRandolph 2. And then I have a podcast called So Deep with Stephen Randolph. You can go to StephenRandolph.com/podcast, or you can find it on iTunes or anything like that. And my YouTube, YouTube.com/StephenRandolph, put a bunch of crazy videos on there. And shout out to Casey at Adult Karate, who was a part of that story.
Yes.
And I love you, Mom and Dad. Scott, have fun opening up for Steve-O. My brother never done stand-up. Good luck, Scott. You don't want in this life.
This is where you could be the hype dude, like in the guy in the van.
Oh, we're about to go up, dude.
Well, thank you. Yeah, please.
Yeah, just
you're about to go up. Seriously, thank you for being here.
I had fun.
This is such a great story. I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Oh, and can I say one more thing? You and Jay, he and Jay, and because Sam, who's coming in next, Sam introduced me to you guys.
Yeah.
And that was the first, Craft Piece was the first big podcast I ever did. I never had exposure like that before. And I just want to thank you. Always put me on, man. Never forget that. You and Jay and
great,
Sam,
dude,
you always put me on and you always give me love. And I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you, bro. Yeah. Talk to y'all next week.